Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is our co-host, Daniel McAdams. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you, Dr. Paul?
Good, and good. We have another member of the Ron Paul Institute with us today, Adam Dick, who's a senior fellow, and we're going to be talking a little bit about civil liberties. Adam, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Good. You know, I've always found this fascinating and interesting because I never thought they were getting to the bottom of the issue that the Supreme Court is supposed to visit with today, you know, and that has to do with a bakery having the right to refuse a command or demand by a customer, and that has to do with the gay couple wanting a certain cake baked, and they didn't want to do it, and they had religious principles, so they're fighting this on religious principles, but I think it's bigger than that. I think there's more to it than that. The Supreme Court is supposed to hear this. It takes a while to get to the Supreme Court, and I'm glad they are, but the refusal came back in 2012, five years ago, and it was in Lakewood, Colorado, but it's worked up the ladder to the point where, you know, this will be heard, and it's, you know, the court's pretty close right now, and if conservatives win it, they're going to rule that this baker had the right, whose name was Jack Phillips, had the right not to have to bake a cake. So at issue here is, does the government have the right to command by regulatory statute to have somebody in a business do what the customer wants, regardless of what his own personal beliefs are? And this sort of opens up a can of worms, and we might just talk about that in a little bit, about what might happen if this was a blanket ability, you know, because not everybody will have the same opinions of what kind of standards that they want. And there's some things that maybe some others who are pushing this issue might not like to see it occur on issues that were completely contradictory to their own personal beliefs.
They might be opening up a can of worms. And as you pointed out, this did start a while ago with the refusal of the Colorado Cake Shop, Masterpiece Cake Shop versus Colorado Civil Rights Commission. In May 2014, a Colorado court ordered the company to change its policy and also to have training for its staff, so its staff understand the policy. As you point out, they made it to the Supreme Court in June of 2017. The Supreme Court agreed to take on the case, and they'll start hearing it today.
I'm going to invite Adam to make some comments here. As many people know, we certainly know that Adam worked in the congressional office and dealt with the civil liberty issues for a long time, and he understands the detriment of a bad approach to civil liberties, especially dealing with the drug war. Adam, what are your thoughts on this case?
Well, interestingly, the appellate court in Colorado framed the argument very well in the first paragraph of the decision, which is being appealed to the Supreme Court, and over which the arguments will be held. And what it said was that the case involves a juxtaposition of the right of the cake shop and the cake shop owner to exercise First Amendment rights not to bake a cake for a gay wedding, and the rights of the two men to obtain a cake for their gay wedding. Now, for many libertarians, that would strike them as a very odd description of what rights are. A right is a right to not have somebody violate your rights. A right is to be free from violence. And rights in commercial interactions only come into place after you have a contract where somebody promises to do something. Then you may go to court and enforce their obligations to, say, bake a cake or have a merger of two companies or whatever the contract's about. But you don't have a right to obtain something from somebody else. You don't have a right to come in and have the government back you up and say, you will bake me the cake or else, or you will merge my company with yours or else. Those commercial types of interactions have to be based upon free will of two individuals, each believing that by entering into the agreement, they will be better off than they were before.
Yeah, I think one of the problems is, and this has been ingrained in our system for a good many years, and that is the coming together of public and private ownership. A libertarian believes in, you know, private ownership and decisions made by the owner. The owner makes these decisions. And yet when it becomes public, it becomes difficult. And I think about our public school system. You know, if you have a private school, you can teach religion or whatever you want. People come and go, and if they don't like the school. But as soon as you get in the public schools, all of a sudden, who's going to decide which books are going to be used? And we have to get rid of prayer in school and get all into these things. So this, to me, is what has happened. Now, the restaurant or bakery is supposed to be private, but it really isn't private, because it serves the public, and the American Civil Liberties Union say that there is a system of public accommodation laws which gives the government the authority to design, set the standards of what the businessman has to do. So it's neither private nor government ownership, but it is based on force. And though they don't become owners of the restaurant or the bakery, they have a lot of control of it, you know, because they have regulations that can put you out of business. And it's you mentioned, Adam, about the use of force. And this is the use of force. If you don't do this, the government can come in and they can fine you. And if you don't pay the fine, they can use guns. They can put you in prison. They can do all sorts of things. So this is the use of violence, you know, against the individuals that deserve to have some rights too. And I've often said that people in their private lives and on their private property can do some pretty dumb things. But that is, you know, one of the things, as long as force and violence is not used, you know, you can really be a jerk in a free society, and we have a lot of that around. But you can't have the government coming in and say, well, we're going to regulate everything you do and think about, and owners should have the right to use their property as they see fit.
Yeah.
You know, actually, in this case, even the owner of the Masterpiece Cake Shop was acting along the same lines as had been the policy of the state government and the U.S. government. This was 2012. At the point, Colorado did not have legal same-sex marriage. The two individuals who came in desiring a cake were going to be married in Massachusetts and then have a celebration back in Colorado. So it's very odd that the state government comes in, which won't even allow same-sex marriages in the state, and tells him that he has to bake a cake to celebrate a marriage that's prohibited in the state. At the same time, the U.S. Supreme Court, it wasn't until 3 years later that it decided the Obergefell case that threw out state restrictions on the creation of same-sex marriages. So what the cake shop owner was doing was totally in accord with what had been the express state and U.S. government policies at the time.
That's very interesting. You know, the one thing you touched on, Dr. Paul, that may be worth talking a bit about is the issue about using the religious views as the basis. And I looked at the people that we look to on these issues. I looked at Mises Institute and I looked at Reason Magazine, and they both mentioned this as a problematic aspect of the case. The cake baker says, because of my personal religious beliefs, I won't bake the cake. Ryan McMacken at Mises said this is confuses the matter. It's really a property rights issue. So how do you think that weakens the case?
Well, I think, you know, if you tend to explain this, people might think, well, he's weak on religious freedom. But I don't think that's the key issue. I mean, people are grasping that, and maybe it's the best way to go in a practical manner. But I think it's much bigger and more significant. I think it is a property rights issue. We have the right of people to own property, and they own it, and they can deal with it. But the reason that some people resent this is they might use this property in a selfish manner, or in a manner not accepted, and people want to regulate this. I think it's a constitutional issue. I think it's more a Fifth Amendment issue. It's a takings, because they're taking control of this. And there's a lot of discrimination in everything that we do. Matter of fact, life is discrimination. You know, at one time it was to be discriminate meant you were making wise choices. But discrimination is something that restaurants do all the time. You don't let people come in that, you know, aren't dressed right and all kinds of things. Just think of, you know, how often discrimination is used. So it isn't the principle of discrimination, it's picking and choosing. So the real motivation here is the definition of marriage. I mean, there's been a systematic effort to change something that was defined one way for a long time. So they want to use government force to do this. And a libertarian would say people can define their own words any way they want. But, you know, when it involves the law and force, the other thing is this is not slavery, but it's slightly like slavery. They're forcing, they're saying, yes, you will. You will bake this case according to our directions, and the ACLU will back us up that we're doing the right thing. So it, that, to me, is a form of slavery, and that is every bit as an important issue as saying it's a religious freedom, because, you know, I think that is sort of weak. It's much bigger than that. To me, it's property.
And I think Jacob Solomon Reason recently has the right point. The position should be that the government should not ban gay marriage, but neither should it force other people to endorse it. And that's what the case is. He says that really the initiation of force is on the part of the government at the behest of this couple. And the baker just wants to be left alone.
Yeah, I think you'd go along with that, wouldn't you, Adam?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, here we're dealing with a state government and its laws. You know, there's a fundamental question of why the U.S. Supreme Court is even involved. Why is the First Amendment of any relevance in this matter? Why isn't it, even if we believe that the state court made a decision that's contrary to the position of liberty, why not let the U.S. government? Why doesn't the U.S. government just let it stand? Different states can go their own ways on these things. But when you are talking on the U.S. government level, before you even reach the First Amendment, you should be asking, where's the enumerated power to take an action? Say the U.S. government had a law itself saying you have to bake the cake. Well, where does it find authority in the Constitution to create such a law? The authority's not there. The Constitution is a document that defines enumerated powers. So you shouldn't even have to reach the Bill of Rights to question whether the baker's actions are protected by the First Amendment, because the law itself has no foundation in the Constitution.
Yeah, I think the bigger issue here is that of liberty. I mentioned property already, in which is part of it, but liberty is the issue on freedom of expression and not using any force. What if a private group came together and said, well, we need to force this bakery to bake cakes according to our dictates, and they want to do it in a private sense? They would be criminals. You know, they couldn't march in here and say, you will bake this case, or we're going to take you out of here and harm you. No, nobody would even think about it. But as soon as they send the government in, that is okay, because they're assuming they got authority. But Adam points out very clearly, you know, even, you know, the Constitution doesn't give them the authority. But what's new? You know, we all three of us spent a little bit of time in Washington. It's never new. They never cared about the authority. I used to say, you know, kiddingly but in a serious manner, the two weakest arguments I ever could use on the House floor would be a moral reason and a constitutional reason. So, Adam, your argument is great. There's no authority there. So we're down to a freedom of religious expression. And I guess if we had to make a projection, we might do this, is which way you think the court is going to go. For some reason, because the court is more conservative before, not necessarily more libertarian, and addressing some of the things we're talking about, I think this court is probably going to say that the right of refusal is going to be respected. I will think things that, even though I don't consider this the most important way to approach it, I would be very disappointed if the courts would come out and say, you will obey these unconstitutional, illegal uses of aggression against people and how they operate their private property. That, to me, would be a setback.
Yeah, I think so. And as we mentioned before the show, and this is an example that's been given many times, you would hate to see, for example, a group of white supremacists going into a Jewish baker and saying, hey, I want a cake with a swastika on it. You know, it's deeply offensive. The guy should just be able to say, hey, take a hike.
Well, it invites all kinds of difficult things if the principles follow through, and they're only supporting this because, it once again, it's a definition of a word, marriage. They want it to be changed, and that is the reason it's there. But, you know, it just opens a can of worms if we do that. Once you leave the principle of private property, then anything can happen. Adam, go ahead and wind this up a little bit. Give us your final comments.
Well, I agree that there's a. It does seem likely that the U.S. Supreme Court would side with the Baker in this case. In the state appellate court decision that's being appealed, it talks about whether the baking of the cake and designing of it would be considered expressive conduct. And it lists a number of things that the U.S. Supreme Court has considered expressive conduct and thus having a fair bit of First Amendment protection. And one of those is the burning of the American flag. And I do believe that the Supreme Court likely, with its composition now, would find that refusing to bake a cake or the baking of a cake is as much or more of an expressive action than is burning the American flag. At the same time, I think it would be better if courts, especially on the state level where this really belongs, would instead of being looking at the First Amendment, would be looking at the property rights issues you're discussing. And I know when you were in the House of Representatives on the flag issue itself, you were talking about how that should have been decided rather than on the First Amendment grounds, on property rights grounds too, that if you own the flag, it's your right to do as you please with it. Just as in this case, if you own the bakery, it's your right to do what you please with it.
You know, over the years, we've been able to work with the ACLU on various issues, and we're always delighted to be able to do that. But then this line is crossed as soon as it comes to economic policy and property rights, because the ACLU would be, my guess would be, they'd be okay if we were talking about a church. You know, there's somebody in the church, and they would consider this as private, and you started preaching your doctrine or excluding somebody banging on the door and marching in and saying, you're going to bake a cake for us just to make the point. I don't think the ACLU would say, yeah, he can't bang on the door of a church in order to come in and tell them way to make a cake. But as soon as it becomes public, so to me, the big issue is this blending together of public and private. And ultimately, you know, it's sort of like in medicine. They say, you know, we'll have government regulations and control of money and all this kind of stuff, but we won't have socialized medicine. But sometimes you end up with something a lot worse. You end up with corporate medicine. In the same way with this, if you don't have a precise definition of what liberty is, rules against the government using force to impose anybody's opinion and forcing other people to obey those rules, that's what has to be done. But private property is really the solution. You know, I am convinced that the entire Bill of Rights could be defended by the property rights issue. You own the property, you can do what you want, you don't hurt anybody, but they should, all these rules should be applied to the government. That's the big thing. Unfortunately now, if there is a bias and the bias wants to use force, they grab the government and they want to use the government to use the force. That, of course, is what we should challenge. But I do want to thank our audience very much for tuning in today, and I'd like to invite you to return as soon as you can. Thank you.